Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The biggest non-story story in the country, WorldNet Daily has reported on a California attorney who submitted an alleged certified copy of registration of birth to a federal court, a Kenyan birth document purportedly of Barack Obama II. And the editor of WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah, wrote a fascinating column, Why I Doubt the Kenyan Birth Document. That got my attention. We'll cover that story in just 30 seconds after this news update. Today, Planned Parenthood attorneys and pro-lifers battled it out in a hearing, and the pro-lifers carried the day. Colorado's title board ruled in favor of Colorado Right to Life and Personhood USA, co-sponsors of the state's 2010 Personhood Amendment. Congratulations, Colorado Right to Life, on that victory today in the state title board. Now, Barack Obama, where's the birth certificate? On the line, we have the editor of WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah. Joseph, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, Bob. Nice to be with you.
It's great to have you back on. Joseph, your column, Why You Doubted the Kenyan Birth Document, it was so well written, and you clarified the issues, and the internet, not only the internet has been a buzz, but MSNBC, CNN, in fact, The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien, I imagine you saw that segment from last night?
To tell you the truth, I have not. I have not watched television in months.
Joseph, I got to tell you, it was absolutely hysterical. Now, of course, Conan O'Brien is not asking Barack Obama to see his birth certificate, but they zoomed in to the certificate image that WorldNet Daily has published, and he zoomed into some of the details. You know, he's a comedian, and they pointed out a baby's occupation, and it said future black president.
So Bob, have you seen the Kenyan birth certificate generator? You can go on a page on the internet, punch in your details, and it'll produce a Kenyan birth certificate for you.
Yeah, and the Democratic Underground, they're asking their folks to produce fake Kenyan Barack Obama birth certificates.
Right.
So it's a wild world out there. But can we bring our audience up to date? There have been a few folks who've been heroes in this, really. Ambassador Alan Keyes all along, because it was ruled that a voter had no standing to challenge whether Barack Obama was eligible to run for president, whether he was a natural-born citizen, according to the United States Constitution. So Alan Keyes stepped up to the plate, and he said, I'm not a voter. I'm a presidential candidate. And so that's one of the many cases. So it's Alan Keyes, more recently Lou Dobbs from CNN, and Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, asking, where's the birth certificate? Could you bring us up to speed with this extraordinary birther movement?
I don't speak for any movement. I just speak for myself and WorldNet Daily. I felt somewhat guilty for having ignored this issue of constitutional eligibility during much of the campaign. I be very honest with you, I was a latecomer to this. It was my good friend and senior staff writer, Jerome Corsi, who, during the context of his writing the book, The Obama Nation, I think, really got deep into this issue and was briefing me on it and sort of made me a believer.
Well, your first story, WorldNet Daily's first story, I believe, was on June 10th, 2008. So while Jerome was researching this and there were bloggers talking about this, WorldNet Daily was early on for all the mainstream independent news outlets.
Oh, I guess, yeah. We're usually 6 months ahead of the mainstream. In this case, we may have only been a few months, but the point is, we until late in the campaign, it did not become a crusade for me. It was not and it did at that point, because I became so convinced, because of his reticence to release his birth certificate at that stage, I really believed he was going to do it. And when he didn't, we started the petition campaign. We started a major FedEx campaign to the Electoral College after the vote and so forth. And really, my personal crusade has been stepped up in the last 3 or 4 months, and I've honestly never been so active on any issue, I don't think, in my life, at least not with this kind of intensity.
Well, Joseph, for example, the petition campaign, WorldNet Daily, I know I have, a long time ago, I went on to WorldNetDaily.com, WND.com, and added my name to the petition. And do you know about what that's up to? How many people have signed the petition?
I checked earlier today, and it's 444,000.
444.
Kind of almost a biblical ring to it, doesn't it?
Not only that, it reminds me of the number of the Kenyan certified document of birth.
There must be a relationship.
Yeah, I think so. So 44.
There are no coincidences.
No, 44,000 people now have signed the petition, and also there are billboards that have gone up around the country that say simply, "Where is the birth certificate?"
Yeah, where's the birth certificate? I got a lot of criticism when I launched that campaign because people wanted me to put Obama's name in there. Everybody had something else they wanted to say. And I wanted to keep it really simple. I wanted to focus it like a laser beam on not the only issue facing, Obama, but the critical first issue. Because without the birth certificate, we can't even begin to determine whether he is a constitutionally eligible candidate. And so that's where we wanted to start. Yes, I'd love to see his passport records. I want to find out about his Indonesian travel and all of that stuff, and I want to get his college records. And we've dealt with all of that, probably more than any other news agency as well.
Yeah.
But our focus has been, my personal focus has been, on the birth certificate, because I knew it's something that people can relate to. It's a simple message.
Oh, yeah.
There is
and
no justification whatsoever for withholding that birth certificate.
Well, Joseph Farah, my son Nathaniel, he's on a race team, and they're headed to Baja, California soon for a major race, and he needs a passport to get into Mexico. And they're asking for his birth certificate. And this is my son who just wants to go to Mexico, and he needs a birth certificate. And Barack Obama is insulting our intelligence by saying there's no reason for him to show us his birth certificate.
Exactly right.
When it's a qualification in the Constitution.
And passport agencies will tell you need a long-form birth certificate. They will not accept these short-form birth certificates. Now, if it's not good enough to get a U.S. passport, how is it possibly good enough to qualify you to be president of the United States?
Hmm.
There are only two offices, in the United States where you need to be a natural-born citizen, president and vice president. And so, this is the criteria. And again, I don't know whether the question will be answered 100% by his birth certificate, but I do know that we got to see that as a starting point to determine. See, without the birth certificate, we know nothing. The certification of live birth is subject to all kinds of fraud. That's why the passport office won't accept it. In fact, the state of Hawaii wouldn't even accept it for some programs until we exposed that, and then they changed their their qualifications.
Well, if your 11-year-old son is bigger, head and shoulders above most, the Little League officials want to see his birth certificate.
Absolutely.
For Little League.
My wife just needed to get a new driver's license, and sure enough, they wanted to see her.
Right.
And it's understandable because the long-form birth certificate, the one that's filled out by the hospital where you're born, it's a real document. It's meaningful. There's a signature. There's an eyewitness, who is actually taking a kind of a state position, an official position by signing that document. These digital forms, subject to so much abuse, not just manipulation by some computer hacker, but think about this. In Hawaii, you could get one of these. A parent can walk in to the public health department and say, we had a birth, was not in the hospital, I'd like to register it. And they fill out a form, one parent signs it, and you got yourself a certification of live birth. No verification process at all. Are you telling me that's enough to deter? And by the way, we don't know. this is a killer, too. The certification of live birth that you've all seen on the Internet, on factcheck.org mm-hmm. and elsewhere, the state of Hawaii will not even confirm that that is a state-issued version of what they have. They won't confirm that it's the same thing they have
and
in their vault.
Right. And Joseph Farah, of course, Bill O'Reilly is worse than obfuscating on this issue. He's basically misled his audience. But what a fascinating article on FoxNews.com just this past week by Tommy DeSeno. And he points out that the certificate put on the internet by Barack Obama and held up by the media was created in 2007. In the lower left corner of the form, there's a reference to a Hawaiian statute that was revised in November of 2001. And if you look closely at the front, you could see bleeding through from the back the date stamp from 2007 when the document was created. So clearly, when O'Reilly says we looked into this and we saw the birth certificate, he's misleading his audience.
Oh, no question about it. And I can tell you, his own producer admitted to our staff that the extent of O'Reilly's investigation was going and looking at the certification of live birth on the internet. That was it.
Right. And so now I think there's some personal animosity there because, Joseph, when he made that false allegation that he saw the document, you guys jumped all over him, and rightly so. And he invited you, and then that turned into a disinvite for Monday night's show. And so I think it's personal now.
Yeah. What I did after I saw that appearance, and I saw it, by the way, I mentioned I didn't watch television. I saw it on the internet.
Okay.
So don't accuse me of lying that I haven't watched television in months.
Well, good.
When I saw it, I wrote that piece, which was a challenge to O'Reilly, and I told him, look, you know, you're the network that says we report, you decide. What did you get? what did you find? Tell us what you found. Don't tell us what you think.
Yeah, they told us they told us what they decided, not what they found.
And it was pretty tough on Bill. But, you know, I've had a relationship with Bill O'Reilly since probably 1999 or 2000. He used to write for us. We launched his column into syndication. We have a long history together. I used to talk to him several times a week. Not for a while. And and I knew what his reaction to that piece would be. And I predicted it to my whole team. I told my publicist, I said, O'Reilly's going to be contacting us and inviting me on the show. And when he does, you're going to give him the stipulations for the appearance. Because I don't want to see my face on television. I know a lot of people will go on television, have any excuse. They don't care, you know, whether they're really conveying any information. With this issue, I would insist that we actually have an intelligent conversation. And I didn't want to debate with any other guests. I wanted to talk to O'Reilly. I think I have information that's worth hearing. The American people, you know, would like to hear it. And so I told him, no other guests.
And you wanted to stick to the facts of the issue.
The facts, no shouting.
Right.
And I thought they were pretty reasonable stipulations, but I also knew that he was not going to like any stipulations because, you know, it's very rare for guests are clamoring to get on these shows.
Right.
And so 2 hours after he got sent the stipulations, Bill can't live with this. And that was the end of it, which is fine with me because it's his shame. And,
yeah.
I do believe that this is one of those issues that's going to hurt the media as much as it hurts the politicians who ignore it. There's going to be a price to pay very soon.
Joseph Farah, I had a similar situation going back quite a few years. I think it was with Phil Donahue, and actually it was with two or three of the daytime talk shows. I was in the news because I had spanked one of our boys. We have seven boys. And so he invited me on the show, and I said, well, I'd appear, but I want to be the only person advocating spanking. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a human sideshow with eight people against one psychologist. You could have all the people you want on the other side, as far as I'm concerned, but they refused that simple request.
Right.
And so those shows didn't happen, although... You know,
that's an indication that they have their show already in mind. In other words, this is the way it's going to come out.
Right.
And that's not journalism. You know, in journalism, you let the facts speak for themselves. And a network that calls itself fair and balanced should be fair and balanced.
Well, so I did hear you on the BBC. That was a worthwhile interview.
Yes.
To let Europe know about this controversy in our country, that there are, if you extrapolate from the polls, there are millions of Americans who think Barack Obama should show us his birth certificate to answer the questions, however it falls out.
Yes, and even though that was an example of, you know, the host and everybody involved had their point of view and had their minds made up, the section that it, where they handled my interview was well done. They went on to, you know, make their points later about how absurd all this is, but at least they actually carried, you know, most of my important words.
Right, exactly. So we have folks who you would think would want to see the birth certificate who are doing the opposite, like, well, for example, John McCain, but Ann Coulter, fascinating. She is not only saying she doesn't want to see Barack Obama's birth certificate, basically, but she's ridiculing those who say, can you show us that you're eligible by the requirements of the Constitution?
Right. It's funny because the people doing the ridiculing are ridiculing some of their best friends. I asked Ann by email. She hasn't answered me, but I said, so Rush Limbaugh is a lunatic, right? Lou Dobbs is a lunatic. I'm a lunatic. I mean, everybody asking this question is a lunatic. And, you know, that's a painting with a pretty broad brush. Mm.
And it seems to me their calculation is this, that it's just too politically risky. And if you're fully invested in Mitt Romney or whoever is the next Republican darling, well, then you don't want too many bumps on the road to that nomination, to that election victory. So you don't want to appear unreasonable in asking, in their minds, it's unreasonable to ask if Barack Obama is eligible to be president.
Well, that's a scary thought. It's a scary thought that you and I are doing the spade work here to, you know, to bring Barack Obama down to size so that Mitt Romney can defeat him in 2012.
that is horrifying. I never thought of it that way. And so we have Lou Dobbs on CNN. He's not a rabid right-wing conservative.
No, he's an independent guy. He's, you know, wrong on a lot of issues. He's right on a lot of issues. But, you know, he doesn't have his finger up in the wind. He's not obsessed with the ratings. That doesn't determine what he's going to do his programming about, like some people whose names shall remain nameless, mm-hmm. who we previously mentioned in this conversation.
Right.
And by the way, this is not just an ideological thing either, because there are plenty of people on the left, surprising number on the left, prominent people.
And Democrats, lifelong Democrats. Wasn't the attorney Berg? He's from
Berg. I'm thinking of Andrew Sullivan, you know,
the blogger,
homosexual columnist, and Lynn Samuels, very far left wing radio talk show host on Sirius, and the Huffington Post blogger, black woman, I can't remember her name.
She's a professor who said, "Come on, Barack, show us the birth certificate."
Right. It's to the point now, Bob, where I really think we're winning. We're gaining, you know, converts to this cause every day. Mm. And that's why the left is screaming so loud. That's why the media is going absurd, having these conniptions, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen coverage of any issue that is as biased as this. 30 years in the business, I've just never seen it.
Well,
I mean, you're a racist if you believe that he should turn it over his birth certificate.
Right, exactly. How about now, Glenn Beck, I said a startling thing. I think it was startling. Because in my worldview, at Bob Benyart Live, we've got 50,000 watts. We've been on the air for 18 years, 5 days a week, out of Colorado. My worldview, it's God and his principles, and under that is the Constitution. Now, there are some Republicans who seem to put the Constitution at the very top. But Glenn Beck, he talks about giving allegiance to God, and he's so strong on the Constitution. But if I heard him right, he was saying, look, even if Barack Obama, if we proved he wasn't born here, so what? What are you going to do? Kick him out of office? And I'm thinking, Glenn,
you don't actually want to enforce the Constitution, do you?
Right. So what's happening here is sort of somebody's pulling back the curtain, because people who say that they care about the Constitution, even our own U.S. Supreme Court, they don't care that God said, thou shalt not murder. To them, that's not relevant. They say they're following the rules, they're following the Constitution, but they don't really seem to care. And this story is opportunistic in a way. It's exposing people who care about politics more than the rule of law, more than principles.
It's a very dangerous issue, an important issue for that reason, because what's happening, if we just, you know, close our eyes and pretend that, you know, he has somehow proven that he's constitutionally eligible, then what we've really done is we've demeaned the Constitution. We've kind of set a precedent for the future that it doesn't matter anymore, that part of the Constitution is null and void like so many other parts have become, just because we've allowed them to transgress various parts of it. And, you know, listen, when this is so clear-cut, this is a part of the Constitution, it's not even really subject to interpretation. We know what they meant when they said natural-born citizen. And so, therefore, it's fairly easy to establish. And if we're now going to start ignoring that part, well, then which parts don't we ignore? This is the President of the United States, the most important, you know, figure in government. If suddenly it doesn't matter, these simple, I mean, it's not like these are complicated and draconian kinds of requirements, 35 years of age and a natural born citizen.
Mm-hmm. And so if this turned out to be, let's say, certified, to be proved beyond any doubt, you guys have offered a lot of money to anyone who could prove they were at Barack Obama's birth, no matter where he was born.
Mm-hmm.
If this was proved that he was born outside of this country, and how does our constitutional process work? Some people think that Joe Biden would become the president, but that's not necessarily the case, because the Obama-Biden ticket would have been invalid.
Well, my reading of the Constitution is that the vice president is the person who succeeds in the case of ineligibility. However, there's a stipulation that if the vice president is found to have been complicit in that fraud that was perpetrated on the American people in the Constitution, then he's disqualified. And then you go down the line, the line of succession.
So you don't see any scenario where it could go back to the Electoral College?
No, I don't. Nancy Pelosi's next. Now, she is definitely complicit. She is the only person who actually signed her signature on a document certifying that he was eligible. She did that at the Democratic National Committee, or on behalf of the Democratic National Committee, after the convention in Denver.
Hmm.
So she's disqualified. Then you go to Robert Byrd. So we go from the first black president to the first Klan president, and he's not even able to serve in the U.S. Senate right now. He hasn't been in the Senate for weeks or months. And then you go to guess who?
Who?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, brother, Secretary of State. Yes, you know, it's scary. Whether it's Mitt Romney, Hillary, it's scary no matter where we look on the landscape.
Yeah, the choices are bad. And that shouldn't be a factor as to, you know.
No, that's right. You do right, and you risk the consequences. And
that's
you teach
correct.
People right from wrong along the way. Joseph Farah, I know you've got to go. We're almost out of time. But you mentioned the convention, the DNC in Denver. I don't know if you saw this, but during the DNC, the world's largest protest sign was put up in the Rocky Mountains facing the city of Denver. It was literally the world's largest sign, unfurled, 666 feet long, 580 feet high, and it said, DNC destroys unborn children. It was
legible. Yeah, I wonder who put that up there.
our friends at American Right to Life, Brian Werba and crew. Brian writes for WorldNet Daily occasionally. And Joseph, you could read it from 10 miles away. Millions of people could read that sign before it even hit the media. And now we're coming up on the one-year anniversary. It was an extraordinary story and accomplishment.
It would have been worth coming to Denver just to see that.
I think so. It was a lot of fun. All right. Well, Joseph, maybe the last question has to do with these campaigns, the petition campaign, the billboard campaign, the letters to the president on his birthday, the participation in these. Has it been waning or is it solid?
It's really extraordinary. You know, it comes in. It ebbs and flows. You know, there are times when contributions to the billboard campaign, you know, come in fast and furious, and then there are weeks where it's practically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the petition is the best gauge, I think.
Mm.
Right now it's on fire again because this issue is on fire, and it's getting attention beyond WorldNet Daily, and people are recognizing, you know what, WorldNet Daily, maybe they were onto something after all. Mm. Everybody's talking about this issue now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't get invited to talk on any radio shows about this, you know, 3 months ago.
Right.
And so the dynamic has changed, and I'm telling you, I can read the public on this issue. We got a majority right now, Bob, and it's going to get bigger.
All right, Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, thank you so very much.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right. God bless you. Well, we appreciate Joseph's time and for him having the courage to fight this thing. He's like a bulldog. He grabs and he holds and he doesn't let go. And you find out where the opposition is vulnerable and you cling to it. I have to say, we've been guilty of that here at Bob and Yurt Live now and then. And he's doing just a great job. And Lou Dobbs, you know, people with guts come and from surprising quarters. And Ambassador Alan Keyes all along, so it's really been great. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a wonderful school. And next month, our annual Internet Telethon. And if you are a new giver, a new listener to BEL, and you give this month, we'll apply it to jumpstart our next telethon.